Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk AM 1150. Beautiful day here in Seattle. What a nice day to take your dog for a walk. Eric, would you agree?
I would definitely agree with that. Good point.
Eric, would you agree it's also a great day to go see Lady Gaga tonight?
Sure, if you're into that sort of thing.
Which I am.
Then enjoy yourself.
So exciting, I know. Eric and I have different tastes in music. Eric is a musician. What instruments do you play?
Guitar, bass, keyboards, singing.
Nice. Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I'm excited to go see Lady Gaga tonight.
Very good. I can see you've got your poker face on already.
That's right. great show today. I have a quick announcement, but then after that, I have a professional athlete in the booth with me today. Haley Kottmeyer with Seattle Reign FC, the Seattle's own women's professional soccer team. And Haley has a dog who she is very much in love with, Maisie, a year and a half old chocolate lab. So Haley's here to talk with us about Seattle Reign FC and her dog and ask me questions she has about her dog. And then we're also going to talk about certain elements of dog training. You know, there actually is a connection between being a goalie in soccer and working with dogs. So you're going to find out what that is on the show.
There's always a connection, isn't there?
There really is.
And by the way, my dog Duke, he used to love to play soccer. He four legs, so he was great at it, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. But I think a lot of dogs love playing soccer if you give them a chance.
Would it be considered an unfair advantage, though, that they have four legs to work with?
The unfair advantage for him was that his mouth was big enough to pick up the ball.
Yeah.
And so that I thought was cheating. But
pretty sure that's a foul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty foul.
All right. Well, first I want to announce a great event coming up in June, actually a month from today, June 28th, Saturday, at Norm's in Fremont, Norm's Eatery and Ale House, A-Help Project, Animal Hospice, End of Life and Palliative Care, is having a fundraising event from 2 to 5 p.m. at Norm's. You can bring your dog, and it's going to be a great event. We'll be featuring Guinness beer, and there'll be raffle prizes and all sorts of fun things to do, as well as just socialize with a great community. That is June 28th at Norm's Eatery and Ale House in Fremont in Seattle, the Heads and Tails fundraiser, A-Help Project. It's a fundraiser for A-Help Project. AHelpProject.org is their website. So I don't want to waste any more time. I want to start talking to Haley Kottmeyer, who's with us in the booth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Good. So you are, would you say, obsessed with your dog?
I am, yeah, definitely. She's my daughter, and I am her mother,
right.
I'm very much in love with my dog, yes.
Awesome, and she's a year and a half old chocolate lab?
Yes, she is.
Maisie. So let's just talk about, before we talk about your dog, let's just talk about you for a second. So you are a member of Seattle Reign, and that's R-E-I-G-N, Seattle's women's professional soccer team that is in its second year now. And you guys are undefeated.
We are.
Two ties. Still undefeated.
Last two games have been ties, but we get on the road this weekend and we are looking to get back on another winning streak.
Yeah. Awesome. Your next home game is Saturday, June 7th versus Chicago Red Stars. And you play at Memorial Stadium in Seattle Center. And that's at 7 p.m. So that's your next home game, but you've got some matches coming up away.
Yes, we're going to New Jersey this weekend.
Uh-huh.
But then we're back home playing against Chicago. And they're, you know, I think they're third in the league right now, so that should be a great game.
Mm-hmm. And what's your guys' rank?
We are first in
You're
the league
first.
Right
All right.
now.
Hey, I didn't want to assume.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else was undefeated, too.
No,
you know?
Just us so far.
So have you played everybody, all the teams in, like, this season so far? Or?
No, we've played most of the teams, at least once, a couple twice. And then I believe Chicago we haven't played, and I think there's one other team that we still have to play.
Nice. Congrats on an awesome season.
So let's, you know, keep
going,
it going with the points.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Their next match is June 7th, Saturday, right in Seattle Center, Memorial Stadium. You can go to reignfc.com, and that's R-E-I-G-N-F-C.com, for tickets. Tickets start at $19. Great event to check out. Now, you guys have some, you know, Olympic like gold medal players on your team, and I mean, it's just to watch this level of competition, really in any, I appreciate any opportunity, but especially women's professional sports, because it's some kind of something that's up and coming. I mean, we have
absolutely
Seattle Storm that have been around for a while, and now you guys, 2 years here, and it's such a great great event to take, I think, especially kids too, to expose them to that level of competition.
It really is. And, you know, with so many kids playing soccer, you know, not only in Seattle, but, you know, all across the country, it's such, you know, an incredible thing for, you know, young boys, but especially young girls,
mm-hmm.
To get out there and see, you know, the games are fun. They're exciting. There's, you know, there's fun little booths you can go to and all those sorts of things. But it's also truly, you know, the best soccer, you know, the highest level in the world right now. And mm-hmm. we have gold medalists, player of the years, just an insane amount of talent on this team, and it's right at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show when we connect being a goalkeeper and working with dogs and what could they possibly have to do with each other.
I'm excited to hear.
But I wanted to start off with, you know, I asked you to, you know, any questions that you had about your dog, because you're, you know, there's lots of people listening who share the questions that you have. I asked you to kind of come up with a list of, you know, anything. Nothing's off limits, I said, about your dog. I don't, you know, if I don't know the answer, I know who does. So so Maisie is a year and a half old chocolate lab. You got her when she was a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep,
8 weeks. You know, 8 weeks old. And got her from a breeder, a small breeder in California, and brought her home, and now she's a year and a half old. And so you had some questions for me. So
I did.
Go for it.
My first one, and I think I kind of came up with this one because it is something that has been kind of affecting us right now. And, you know, she's kind of a sickly dog. You know, we've been dealing with her, you know, in and out of the vet for a while, kind of since we got her. You know, different, she's had giardia, eye infections. You know, she's just kind of, you know, she's a lab, so she eats everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, recently our big issue has been paw eating. And she's, you know, she's chewing her paws to the point where, you know, if I'm not there, I have to put her in a cone or put socks on her, which she looks absolutely ridiculous in socks,
mm-hmm.
walks funny. And I know she doesn't like it. And, you know, she can just tell that she's really uncomfortable. So I wanted to see, you know, first and foremost, if you had any advice on kind of the paw eating and just her health in general.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you did some investigation into allergies. What kind of allergy tests did you have done?
I believe we went through and tested different types of food.
Uh-huh.
And I also think we've looked into kind of some weather related, but she was pretty young when that happened. And I do know they said that she's right around the time now in her life where certain allergies might pop up that weren't there before. And these are kind of some defining times at that year and a half mark. So, mm-hmm. you know, she was tested for some things. Nothing major came up, but mm-hmm. she's just, you know, you can tell at certain points just during the year she's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I'll share with you what I know. And then beyond that, I gave you contact information for Dr. Donna Kelleher, who's a holistic vet who I've had on the show a few times. So I think there's some things that you could, you know, if you haven't tried already, that I tell you definitely you could try those things. And then given the degree of it, it would be something potentially to actually go to a veterinarian for. But specifically a holistic vet, because, I mean, you have your regular vets, and there's so many wonderful, like, sort of quote-unquote regular vets out there, and then you have your holistic vets. And one of the things with allergies and certainly food, and I have talked about this many times over the years on the show, but there's definitely kind of a disconnect there with, you know, okay, so you've ruled out or you've kind of checked into food allergies. Has it been all in the form of kibble?
We originally had her on, you know, when we first got her, they put her on Blue Buffalo, and now we're on this natural salmon. It's kind of like a kibble blend.
Yeah. So, but it's like in a bag, and it's like pellets.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the pet food industry exists to make money off of the waste from the human food industry, generally speaking. And kibble, even if you're, I mean, and there's, you know, several hundred different formulas out there. So you said she's on like a salmon and, you know, like an allergy sort of specific diet, yeah. Right? To kind of, you know, rule out potential allergens. But one of the problems that is the processing that it goes through to be in that form. So if you look at salmon, you ordered salmon or got salmon, grilled it or something, it looks a certain way. And then you look at the like pellet form food, it goes through a tremendous amount of processing to be turned into that form. And it has an impact on the food itself. It makes it very hard for the body to actually access the nutrients because it's cooked under such high temperature and pressure that it actually changes the molecular structure of the food. So nutrition is chemistry. So if you're messing with the structure of the molecules, it's going to impact how the body's able to use that as nutrients, like on a cellular level. But the other thing is, I mean, there's lots to this. The other thing is, like we talked about her immune system and that's been something she gets Giardia really easily, which is a, you know, digestive bacteria, basically. And you know, most of the immune system is in the digestive tract. So if your digestive tract is weakened, it's going to impact the immune system overall. And then like eye infections you mentioned and stuff like that. So it's really, it can get to be like kind of a tangle, like a big knot. And it's not just like, oh, she's allergic to chicken and you just take chicken out of her diet and then she's fine. So the first thing that I would do is take her off of processed food and feed her like the Natural Pet Pantry is a company that I've been connected with for years. They're local and they make either raw or cooked foods. And it's just actual food and it's frozen.
Okay.
And you can do like a novel protein. So like I wouldn't feed chicken, I wouldn't feed beef. Those are really high, like common allergens as far as proteins go. So you could do like venison or buffalo or even like rabbit or something like that. So you go for more of a novel protein. Get her off of processed food. And then there's other things that you can do to also specifically like to support her digestive tract. So good nutrition, food that's not so highly processed, that's really hard on the digestive tract, kind of knocking it down. Dr. Kelleher, I know, I was at one of her nutrition talks recently. And she really loves, this might sound funny, but adding a little bit of really finely ground sauerkraut because it's fermented. And it's not like canned sauerkraut that was made wherever, but like if you could make it even, or if, you know, we were able to get really fresh sauerkraut and you don't need to add a lot of it, like a, you know, teaspoon or two mm-hmm. maybe per meal. But there's something very therapeutic about fermented foods to help support and really ideally repair kind of a knocked down digestive tract. And then, you know, probiotics, you could look at stuff, you know, adding in a probiotic, but that would be something that I would, you know, ideally like to have information given specifically by a holistic vet, you know, for her as an individual. But those are some general things that you can do right out of the gates, like no matter what. Because if you go to a vet, a holistic vet, they'll tell you to take them off processed food, you know, probiotics probably, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So those are easy things to do. But if it's the paw thing, I mean, it could be environmental. I mean, I'd still, immune system-wise, you'd want to, you know, deal with the food because that's so important. And then, but if it's an environmental allergen, you know, then it's kind of like that. That's kind of where I hand it off. Where I'd hand it off to Dr. Kelleher or Dr. Zamzow, who's another one, or someone else who can deal more specifically with that on a medical level. So, you know, it's tough, though. And then, you know, I was just talking to you before the show, too. There was something, and I need to find out the more specifics about this, but my wife told me that there's a something going on with the pituitary gland that they found is related to specifically chocolate labs, that you mess with the endocrine system, you mess with everything pretty much because it's hormones and it's But I'm going to find out more about that. And when I do, I'll send you whatever I find so you can go check that out and see, just for, you know, information wise. Yeah. But it's tough when you've got a whole bunch of different things going on that, and like I said, it's kind of like a big knot and you're trying to untangle it. And what can happen is that she has these symptoms, and what can happen with sort of mainstream veterinary medicine is that she can be prescribed medication to just kind of band-aid the symptoms, but not, you know, like mask the symptoms, but not really dealing with the root of the problem. So that's a great question. I know a lot of people are really struggling with dogs and allergies. This is, you know, the time of year for it. Environmental versus food. I think food allergies are so much easier because you just control the diet once you figure out what it is. But then environmental, I mean, if your dog's allergic to grass, what do you do?
Yeah, that's kind of my biggest fear is that, you know, I have a Labrador that's allergic to grass.
Right. Yeah. And then really susceptible to Giardia, which is common in like water areas, right? So then it's like, oh gosh, okay, what do we do? But there is a lot that you can do to help support her and make her immune system stronger, and, you know, figure out the allergies so that you're really clear what it is, and even improve the body's reaction to that too. So great question, and I know you have some more. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Haley Kottmeyer, who's a member of Seattle Reign FC, REIGN. She's one of the goalies, and they have a match coming up. Their next home match is Saturday, June 7th, versus Chicago Red Stars at 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium here in Seattle Center. Women's professional soccer team, the highest level that you can see of the sport being played by women. It's really incredible to watch. Definitely check it out. Tickets start at $19 and can be purchased at reignfc.com. That's REIGNFC.com. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Chicken Supreme and a Cutlet Supreme. Supreme, yeah. Go knock on 1, 2, 3.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Peggy Kaler at Westar Pacific Mortgage in Duval, we cover the world of animals. This week, May 10th, it's a Talk With Your Animals Sunday with gifted animal communicator, medium, and Reiki master, Darcy Pariso. Darcy can help you talk with and learn about your animal friends, or help you connect with animal or human loved ones on the other side. So plan to give us a call on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Dr. Mitchell Gaynor shares how you can change your destiny and reverse certain diseases with the Gene Therapy Plan. Also, Linda Zoana shares stories from people living with Meniere's disease in her new book, Vertigo, When Your World Spins Out of Control. Keep up with show news on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and follow us on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair. Be sure and tune in every Monday at noon for Conversations Live.
Pure Air's powerful formula lets you eliminate pet odors safely. It's strong enough to effectively get rid of smells like urine, plus stronger odors like those that can be caused by illness. Pure Air is safe enough to spray directly onto people, animals, or use in the bath or laundry. Pure Air is perfect for dealing with dire situations, refreshing your dog between baths, or just before company comes. Pure Air is the most effective product you can buy to remove stinky pet odors safely. Find it at stores like Mud Bay, McClendon's, and Natural Pet Pantry, or visit their website, pureair.com. That's pure, A-Y-R-E.com. I'm Julie Forbes, host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We reign! We reign! Supreme, oh God! Burrito Supreme!
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You threw me off there, Eric. I got the rain connection, and then it was
I wasn't sure either, Eric.
Burrito Supreme?
That's right. Well, they reign supreme, just like the Seattle rain.
That's right. Who reigns supreme?
Another wonderful connection.
Burritos? Where the burrito supreme come from,
because
though?
It's just things that are supreme.
Got it.
The cutlass supreme is mentioned in there. The burrito supreme.
Oh,
the chicken supreme.
Okay. Got it.
It's Tenacious D. Don't try and figure it out.
I was like, okay, rain. And I was like, what? Did he just say burrito?
I thought like it might be like a Taco Bell.
Yeah, I know.
Little throw in there, but I wasn't sure.
All right. Well, we're back with Haley Kottmeyer, who's one of the goalies for Seattle Reign FC, our very own women's undefeated women's professional soccer team.
You might say that they reign supreme.
They do. They
much
do.
Much like burritos.
Like
much
a burrito supreme. Exactly.
Yes. So undefeated this season, 7-2-0.
Yep, 7-0-2.
So, excuse me, 7-0-2.
Okay. I don't want people to think we've lost.
Win, loss. Well, yeah, thank you. Undefeated, 2 ties, 7 wins, on the road and back at home. Saturday, June 7th versus Chicago Red Stars at 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium right in Seattle Center. Tickets start at $19 and can be purchased at reignfc.com. That's reignfc.com. Really, really, really high level. Like you said, if you want to see the highest level of women's soccer in the world, pretty much go to Seattle Center.
The really cool thing that they did with this league is they took the national teams, so the U.S. women's national team and the Canadian women's national team and also the Mexican national teams, and kind of, you know, more or less split the girls up to create one big league. And you know, not only that, there's other internationals, you know, Kim Little, Jess Fishlag, you know, who are Scottish and from Wales, you know, other elite women's soccer players.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them, you know, all in different teams. And that's kind of what makes this league so cool is, you know, because very rarely do the full national teams get together and play without it being a World Cup year,
right,
or an Olympic year.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives, you know, a full season with truly, you know, a lot of the best players in the world.
Yeah, very cool. And Seattle Reign is in its second season and undefeated this year so far. And again, their next home match is Saturday, June 7th at Memorial Stadium, which is in Seattle Center. You can go to reignfc.com for details and tickets. Get them now. Now, your season goes through August?
Yes.
Like, through the end of August?
End of August.
Okay. And then there'll be playoffs after that.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, Haley has a dog, and we were talking about, you know, your first question in the last segment about her allergies, specifically her paw eating, which we would assume was probably allergy related. Dogs' mast cells, which are the cells that produce histamines in the body, in dogs live in their cheeks, paws, and armpits. Whereas us, you know, they're like all in our sinuses,
yeah,
and, you know. So that's why we say usually it's an allergy related thing as opposed to maybe itching in other areas of the body, which might not necessarily or typically be related to allergies. Now, you have a second question, and that was what?
Well, again, you know, she's a chocolate lab. Mm-hmm. She's a young chocolate lab, and she absolutely loves her tennis ball. You know, like, lives and dies by the tennis ball. You know, when we go places, she really doesn't want, you know, anything to do with a lot of other dogs if a tennis ball is present. Now, she does have one best friend named Kaya that she'll put the tennis ball down for,
mm-hmm,
but besides that, she's totally a one-track mind, and, you know, it's at the point where I'm okay with that, but sometimes in the middle of the night, like if I don't put, you know, the chucket and the tennis ball in the car, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and she'll be staring at it to where she thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
So she's totally, totally ball obsessive. So I don't know, you know, is this okay? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? You know, what kind of were your thoughts on that? And you know, how can I get her to kind of be a little more social sometimes?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, when you take her for exercise, do you throw the ball for her?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I have like one
you
of the...
You chuck it.
I have the chuck it.
Yep. Yeah, so you go wherever and you throw in the ball and she runs and gets it, brings it back. So it's, if she's a high, so it's what, it's called like high drive. Have you heard this term before?
No, I have not.
Okay. So like a drive, like a herding dog that has a high, a strong instinct to herd things would be considered high drive. And ball drive is kind of what it's called. For dogs who are like ball obsessed, ball drive, that's actually dogs who are like, she would be a great search and rescue dog. Because
she does love swimming,
or you know, scent detection, you know, whatever. Because and search and rescue meaning by scent, so scent tracking. Because the dogs think they're just looking for their toy. Mm-hmm. So if she's like, I don't care about anything else other than finding my ball. If you attach a scent to that object, she will not stop until she finds it. So you need that in a dog who's going to be like looking for missing people or explosives in the airport, and who's not just going to be like, "Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'm tired.
I can leave it there.
Let's just hang out. You know, give me some affection." So, anyway, but what can happen is that if her okay, so there's I'm going to try to make this like a succinct version because we could be here for like probably an hour and a half or so just talking about this. But dogs have like kind of, as far as I'm concerned, like two categories of energy when we think of meeting their energy needs. And you've said she's a high energy dog.
Very high energy.
Very high energy dog. Well, we think, okay, I need to meet my dog's energy needs. I need to get my dog exercise. And when we think of that, we think of physical exercise only. And we don't think of the whole other half of that, which is mental. So dogs and people have been living together for quite some time. We'll talk more specifically about that when you play trivia with me later. You know, thousands of years, we'll say. At least, you know, thousands of years, dogs and people have been living together, and the nature of the relationship has been working together, which requires mental energy, intelligence, figuring something out, making choices, having a thought process. And we, up until, you know, very recently, you know, we've been having our dogs as, you know, living with dogs. And oftentimes the dogs have been working with us. They've been working with us on the farm. They've been, if it's a lab, they've been hunting with us or whatever. And now we don't really do that. You don't go hunting with her, right? No.
No.
You don't do, you know, search and rescue on the side or anything else. So the outlet that she has, and this is most people, at least in this that I work with, the dogs are not given a constructive outlet for their mental energy. So she's unemployed. You could also potentially say mentally bored because there's nothing to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but that energy has to go somewhere. So if she's a high drive dog, just as an individual, which a lot of labs are, and herding breeds can be as well. And then what you've done, because it's what people do, is they go take the dog to the park, throw the ball, play fetch. Dog loves it. It's like the best thing in the world for them. Get some exercise, which they need. Especially a high energy dog. So you're like, this dog needs some exercise. But what you're doing is you're like cultivating and strengthening that drive. So it's almost like now it's gotten to the point where, and also if it's her only main outlet for mental or for energy, then it's like magnified. It's like really, really, really loud. And if she has a tendency as an individual to maybe be a little bit obsessive, or, you know, like compulsive or, right, so paw licking, what we were talking about before, then it's just kind of like gotten a little out of hand. And so now you're like, if there's a ball in the house,
she'll find it.
She will find it and we'll stare at it, or you're right, or we'll bring it to you. Or if it's out of her reach, like you said, you'll wake up and she'll be like staring at it.
Yep.
So there's kind of a lot to this, but it's something I've actually talked with. There's sheepdog trials that happen on Vashon Island every year that are really fun to go watch. And I talked with the coordinator of this, actually about this in particular, because herding breeds can have a tendency to do this as well. They're just like really intense. Mm-hmm. And then practicing her with, you know, trying to balance, first balancing her outlets of mental energy. So maybe get her involved in like an agility class or something like that, where she's getting an outlet for her mental and physical energy that doesn't have anything to do with a ball. So now there's another outlet, or there's a few other outlets, or maybe, you know, rather than just going to the park and throwing the ball, you know, every day or whatever, maybe you're like, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to try and not do that for a couple months, and we're going to like go for jogs or go for hikes or go for long leash walks. And then I'm going to do like nose work games where you're finding treats and like just kind of quit the ball for a little bit and see what that does. There's also things you can do, which I think are kind of more secondary to what I just talked about, but like working with her on her training, teaching her how to hold like a downstay, even if you're like tossing the ball back and forth with your boyfriend, or like if there's a ball in the room, she has to think about something else. Like, you, I know you're really excited about this ball, but I've put you in a downstay and you need to learn how to hold that. So really cultivating a thought process in the presence of the ball, that just makes her crazy.
I'm very interested to try that, because
yeah,
like in my mind it would drive her crazy, but I think she could do it. But it would just, you would know that it would just totally,
it would be hard for her,
but it would be a very good
right
training,
because
that's her drive, that's her,
yeah,
that's
it's
her
a great drug. It's a great, right, so it's a great it's a great way to use that as a distraction and really cultivate something else, which would be a thought process in the context of working with her and training. Those are the main things that come to mind for that. And like I said, the biggest thing is, you know, if that's her only, it's something that she came to you with and that was made stronger and stronger and stronger because she's been practicing it.
By doing it
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And not having other outlets. And really making sure that we're clear there's mental energy and physical energy, and it's important to meet both of those. Because dogs are not given enough credit for their ability to make choices, figure things out, their awareness of everything that's going on. We just think, well, I'll give them exercise, take them for a walk or run, and then just give them affection. And that's all they need. And they're like, I'm really bored and unemployed. So, you know, what can you do to... And it's not just big dogs like her. So let's say maybe even a small chihuahua, this might apply, you know, and little dogs are different too. So it's not just these big, you know, border collies and labs and, you know, pointers and these guys. I mean, all sizes and all breeds of dog have varying levels, but needs for the mental energy, and little dogs even more so, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Little dogs are underestimated for sure. Like, you're not going to run a marathon with a little dog, but they're very, very smart, and they need an outlet, high outlet for that mental energy. So
actually, one of the girls on our team, Keelan, has her and her girlfriend have a pug, and it goes trail running with them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Especially for a pug, because of the pushed in,
the breathing thing.
Yeah.
But he does a good job.
Good. Okay, so... Anything else there for that? Now, I know you said she's a lot better, but she did some submissive peeing, but she's better with that.
Yeah, once, you know, she got spayed, and that helped a little bit. And now, you know, even if she has to go, she just gets so excited when she sees people. Mm-hmm. And she's very submissive. You know, she's the first dog to, like, roll onto her back and be like, sniff me, here it is, mm-hmm. You know. She's very much that dog, but she does immediately, like when she's, especially when women talk to her in high-pitched voices, she immediately drops into like the, oh my gosh, I can't hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, it is getting a lot better, but that's just kind of coming with age. And if there was a way to, you know, train that a little bit better, you know, I definitely would love to have her stop peeing in front of people.
Right. So a few things for that. You've identified specific things that set her off. So getting her out of the habit of doing it is important. So when you have people come over, you want to give them a little coaching before they come over and actually have them like low energy, not like address her full on. Some dogs will do it even if you look at them directly or turn, you know, face them. So kind of depending on what her level is, if it really just takes somebody kind of going, wee, you know, like that. But can she be okay if somebody just comes in and is like, hey, girl, how's it going? You know.
Yeah, then she is
less likely to do it. Okay.
I would say, you know, the people I know and I'm close to are very good about it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when we're outside or at a park or, you know, visiting somebody and somebody sees her and she's, you know, very small and kind of looks puppy-like.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, been her whole life that people are like, oh my gosh, a puppy.
Yeah. So what you can do, kind of a trick, dealing with the general public is tough with your dog because you can't control what they're going to do and all this stuff. But is she food motivated?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
So try to intercept them and you can kind of fly under the radar with this. Like if you see someone, you probably recognize that like someone's going to come over and say hi before they get to her. Have a treat ready and be like, hey, will you help us with our, you know, I'd love for you to say hi, but will you show her this and ask her to sit? And so it moves the person in a different direction. So then they're like, oh, yeah, totally. Sit. And then just by engaging her with something as simple as sit, you're engaging her brain. So now she's thinking about the sit command. It's a way to kind of break the ice, have them tell her good sit. Good sit. Oh, thank you so much. Here's another treat. Would you ask her for down and kind of get them? So that way they're not setting her off. She's not practicing the undesirable behavior, but also she's getting the opportunity to interact with strangers in a very constructive way, engaging her brain and also engaging her nose. So two things that can help prevent submissive peeing. But really controlling the energy level is a tough one. And I'm glad to hear that it is getting better. So
I would say, you know, with kind of in her training, that was she definitely picked up on commands very quickly and understands them and likes to do them and, you know, loves being praised.
Mm-hmm.
It's that initial opening the door and it's like, oh, my gosh, you know,
so,
you're your home or it's a new person or
is it mostly at your home? Or also out and about?
It's everybody, everything.
Anywhere.
It doesn't matter if it's, you know, someone that really doesn't want to see her.
Right.
Doesn't matter who it is. She's pretty, like, she just gets very, very excited.
Yeah.
And she will sit, but, like, I mean, you can see the paws on the ground, like, as she's sitting, like, this is killing me to hold this. But she'll do it. I mean, she's, you know, she's a good dog, but she's very easily excited.
And there's other things you can do as far as training to kind of redirect her also. Part of it is that she is a year and a half still, so she's technically adolescent. They hit adulthood at about 2. Labs are notorious for being slow maturers also. So, like, my 2-year-old male still acts like a 10-week-old sometimes, I think. But that's going to probably help, too, as she continues to get older as well. But there's kind of a lot to it, but there's your short answer for you. Okay, so I wanted to talk. We're going to take a quick break, and then I wanted to talk to you about this kind of goalie analogy, which is your position that I've used for years in the context of dog training. And then when I said it to you before the show, you were like, oh yeah, blah 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 blah, and I was like, oh, I want to hear more about your perspective on this, because it's like kind of the same thing, which is why I use it as an analogy. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back talking with Haley Kottmeyer, who's with Seattle Reign FC. REIGNFC.com is their website. Their next home match is Saturday, June 7th versus Chicago Red Stars at 7 p.m. Memorial Stadium in Seattle Center. Get your tickets now. Tickets start at $19. REIGNFC.com. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
wish your dog didn't hate going to the vet? Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com. Hey, Dog Show fans. Does something stink in your home or car? Pure Air is a powerful odor eliminator that is the only natural food-grade product in its category. It works on bedding, kennels, litter boxes, urine, vomit, poop, even skunk spray. You know, all the fun smells our pets bring into our home. It's so non-toxic that you can literally eat it, a requirement for our home and our dogs. Spray Pure Air on anything you can put water on and let your nose watch the odor disappear. Ask for Pure Air in stores that specialize in natural, non-toxic products for home. Or visit dogradioshow.com for a link to their website. I'm Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
That would be Lady Gaga, who I'm seeing tonight. Thank you, Eric. Very kind of you.
Make sure you have fun.
I will. There's no making sure of that. It's going to be amazing. All right. Back with Haley Kottmeyer with Seattle Rain. Welcome back to the Dog Show.
Thank you.
REIGNFC.com is their website. Their next home match is Saturday, June 7th in Seattle Center at Memorial Stadium, 7 p.m. Check it out. They're going to put some hurtin' on the Chicago Red Stars.
Oh, yeah.
And remain undefeated. They are undefeated this season, by the way, if you didn't know that, if you're just tuning in. So the highest level of women's soccer that you can see really through this league, this national league, and Seattle has their very own team that is ranked number one. So check it out. Bring your kids, too. Not just your daughters, but bring your kids, your sons and daughters, to witness some women playing this level of competition. It's really, really inspiring and great role modeling. So speaking of, now one thing that the connection that I made after we had this interview scheduled, I was like, wait a second. When I'm coaching my clients, who mostly are women, on how to work with their dogs, specifically waiting at the door, I use this analogy of a goalie in soccer. Because dogs are, you know, okay, so wait as a command for me means don't cross a line. So doorway would be, you know, there's often a change in flooring. There's actually a physical line and even a frame around it. And so you tell the dog to wait and you're asking them not to cross through that boundary until you release them. Well, the process of training is a process of education. And in order to educate, you need to communicate. And in order to do that with a dog, you want to speak their language, which is not verbal. This is where people get into trouble, because we are animals, and we are also nonverbal communicators, but we tend to get distracted by our thoughts and words, and we're just like, bah, 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 right? Talk radio show right now. We're sitting here talking. Dogs don't do that. Dogs' primary, you know, first language is kind of all the other stuff. Their posture, their what they actually do, so their actions. They're very physical, so what they do with their body, but also other things, scent, the quality of energy that they generate, or you could also call that presence. They're really masters at all those things, and they read all of those things in us like that. Like, they're kind of experts in people. So if I've got somebody who's trying to establish with their dog, and especially if it's a dog that's like kind of pushy or lacking in boundaries or whatever, and they're like, wait, part of my coaching is like, listen, you've got to get connected from within yourself about what you're communicating to this dog, which is don't cross through this line because I'm telling you not to. So you have to do it in a way that has like a level of being assertive. And that's something that a lot of people aren't used to doing or being in their life, and especially women. So I say, like, imagine you're a goalie in soccer, and except that you can't use your hands with a dog because that's just attention. Mm-hmm. But so imagine if it was just like waist down, and all you could do was just use like your posture and presence and then your body to kind of block them if they try to pass through the line. And when I said that, you were like, made all these connections. I mean, you're like, we're talking about, you know, the National Women's Soccer League, you know, this high, high, high level of play that you can watch this whole season's worth of. We have our own team, Seattle Reign, R-E-I-G-N, and you're one of the goalies for the team. So when we're talking about this high level of competition, you're one of these people who is playing, and so you are an effective goalkeeper. So you were like, well, yeah, I mean, gosh, it's like such a mental thing, and there's so much behind. It's not just this, like, I'm going to, like, put my, you know, skillfully put my hand out and stop this ball, but there's a big, like, mental and energetic component. So talk about that. And then you also have taught a lot of kids, too, and coached kids on, like, confidence and stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if, you know, going into a game, if, you know, especially as a goalkeeper, if you're not confident, you know, in your abilities, or, you know, in your abilities to match up with certain players on the other team, then it's going to show, you know. So my body language, if I'm standing in the goal and I, you know, I'm not really doing anything and my head's hung or my hands are on my hips and I don't look engaged in the game, I'm, you know, telling my team that I'm not, you know, I'm not confident, and then I worry them, and I'm telling the other team that, okay, I'm going to shoot on that girl because she's not all there, you know, or she's not going to be very good, because it's just such a, you know, it's such a presence. And the best goalkeepers in the world, you know, and as they grow, goalkeeping is one of those positions where you get better with age because you get smarter. Mm-hmm. And you just get experience, and you get, you know, a certain level of confidence that, you know, people just kind of have a certain level of respect for you. And it has to do with, you know, how you stand in the goal, how you present yourself, you know. If I stand on my line too, I'm distancing myself from people. But if I get up and, you know, I'm closer, then I'm making myself available. And, you know, there's just so many parts of your body language that can be read, you know, by coaches, by fans, by teammates. You know, everybody mm-hmm. can see it.
And the body language, there's like a level beneath that, which could, because the body language is a like physical reflection of how you feel. So if you're standing there, like, I am fully present to every player on this team, that ball is not crossing that line, you're going to look a certain way, versus if you're like daydreaming or like, oh, I'm really intimidated by,
I'm scared, like, to death.
Those, right. that's going to manifest, like, that's going to show in your body language too. And it's so similar to if someone's trying to establish with their dog, like, don't cross that line, you want them to hold themselves and have that message be coming through them in all the ways possible. mental, energetic, like emotional, all those things, like the confidence basically that you talk about.
No, that I mean, that makes perfect sense because, you know, as we discuss, like if I come in, usually Maisie can tell like if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood, like she can read that on me. So, you know, if in training her, doing anything with her, if I'm, you know, or if I even seem distracted while I'm doing something, she can totally tell. And she's like, oh, I'm going to spite you for sure.
Yeah.
I'll go, you know, sniff a homeless person over here while you're looking at your cell phone.
Right.
yeah. So she can very much, you know, kind of read me. And so that was something that was so, you know, I couldn't seem flustered in training her. And it's the same way, like, you know, if I don't seem confident and, you know, whether I'm playing or whether I'm training kids, it's, you know, there's just, it absolutely reflects across everything.
And if you do get a goal scored on you, you don't want to be taken out, you know, like, okay, well that, you know, that happened, but I'm still connected to all of that intention and confidence and presence and like, and that's what you, when you said that about being flustered is so important too, because people tend to do that so much in training is like you know, the dog's not doing it. And then we're like, nah! And then we, you know, we just sort of like spaz out and the dogs are like,
whatever,
you're easy.
Yeah.
Like I'll just throw you off so easily.
You know, and that's funny. We kind of have this saying that goalies have short attention spans. And you have to, because if you're riding too high after a big save and you get, you know, kind of your head up in the clouds,
right,
like with how great you just did, then, you know, you're going to be too high. But if you also stay down on yourself and you're emotional and you let that off, then they can notice that too. So it's about, you know, keeping that balance, you know, keeping your emotions in check. And that is, you know, one of the hardest things for like young goalkeepers to learn, because I can only celebrate a good moment for a very short period of time, and then I can't dwell on something that was so bad, or else, you know, two or three goals is a lot worse than one goal.
Right. You're like a mastering presence, the art of presence.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, where in a lot of sports when people peak, you know, at a young physical age, but with goalies, it often doesn't happen till later just because it's such a mental position where you have to be so smart.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, I look forward to watching your team play this season.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one.
Undefeated so far, 7-0-2. So 7 wins, 0 losses, 2 ties. They're on the road and then back at home on June 7th against Chicago Red Stars, 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. In Seattle Center. Tickets start at $19 and can be purchased at rainfc.com. All right, we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to get to some of these trivia questions for you. So you ready?
This is what I'm most excited and nervous about.
You need a warm up, or you know? Okay, we don't have time for warm ups.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Oprah Winfrey has 5 dogs.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
One thing that Oprah and I have in common of many. 3 of them are one breed, and 2 of them are another breed. Can you name one of the breeds?
Can I guess?
Yes.
I'm trying to think about, like, what Oprah would have. I don't mean that, you know.
Careful what you say here.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's probably listening, too. So,
Oprah is definitely listening. Hi, Oprah. I think Oprah probably has a poodle.
No.
I'm wrong.
Oh, Eric.
Eric, ouch. Coming in. I don't know what Oprah Winfrey has.
3 Cocker Spaniels and then 2 what look to be Golden Retrievers.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. True or false, it is widely accepted among scientists that dogs have emotions.
I think that's true. Yeah, Maisie's an emotional creature.
Yeah. True or false, there are no completely hypoallergenic dogs.
I think that's also true.
Nice. All right, what is the tallest? I'm going to give you, 4 options here.
Okay.
But one of these dogs is known to be the tallest breed of dog. Tallest.
Tallest.
Is it A, Irish Wolfhound, B, Boxer, C, Mastiff, D, Corgi?
Certainly not the corgi. I've seen a lot of really ginormous mastiffs that have towered, but I also, why do I think the wolfhound's big too? I think it's the mastiff, though. That was my instinct. Is it the wolfhound? Mm-hmm. That was my other one that I wasn't sure.
Yep.
Mastiffs can be pretty big, though.
Mastiffs are not as heavy. Okay. That's the kicker with that one.
Yeah, I think I've seen a mastiff where, like, on its hind legs, it, like, was a good 7 or 8 inches over me, and I'm pretty tall.
All right, well, more dog trivia to come some other time. Thanks to Haley Kottmeyer and Seattle Reign FC. Be sure to check them out June 7th at Memorial Stadium. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.